I'm Brett Hayworth, and welcome to What's Your Frequency, our weekly show on Siouxland Public Media. Western Iowa Tech Community College has many programs as its leaders aim to reach a lot of people where they are in terms of education and continuing education and community outreach. One of the notable pieces is called the Institute of Lifelong Learning, which brings a lot of people to campus for a host of classes. And lifelong learning within the next year will mark a 30th anniversary. This What's the Frequency show is devoted to lifelong learning, which has been a big success. And I'll read here to begin with a recap from the Lifelong Learning website page. We celebrate the remarkable vision of our founders, individuals who carved out time, energy, and passion to build a legacy of shared learning. Their spirit lives on in every class we offer, from the joy of cooking and crafting to the excitement of travel, theater, games, literature, writing, and history. Our instructors bring their passions to life, and together we nourish not just our minds, but our bodies too, through movement, nutrition, and wellness. Lifelong learning is more than just taking classes. It's about staying strong, curious, and connecting with others. As we gather to learn and laugh, we are reminded that what unites us is far greater than what divides us. We have four guests in studio for this show who are lifelong learning coordinator Sue Owens, plus Fiona Valentine, who for years was the who had oversight of the lifelong learning program, plus two people who attend many lifelong learning events on campus. We have Becky and Bill McKinney. So thank you all for joining me today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
And we've been working toward this for quite some time, Sue. So thank you for getting everybody so we have a good group of people to talk to. Thank you. And I guess to begin, Sue, can you take me back to the beginning, the founding of the Institute of Lifelong Learning? Like, what was happening on campus, and why did some people feel like this was a needed facet to add to the college?
From my discussion with Dr. Dunker, Brenda Knut and Dr. Dunker were trying to figure out how they could reach more people in the community, mm-hmm. because a lot of times people were not aware of Western Iowa Tech. But also, I think that they recognize that with the community college, you have the expertise, you have the facilities, you have the location, all of those things that provide an opportunity to reach people and help them grow as individuals. And so they put their heads together and tried to find programming that would reach different aspects of the community, whether it was seniors or whether it was kids in the summer for children's camps. So they wanted to make sure that they used our facilities as much as possible, mm-hmm. to reach the community as a whole.
Right, and then for either you, Fiona, or again, continue with you, Sue, do you know, was this like a program that they had seen at another college and kind of borrowed from, or do you know like how it all, I guess, the guts of it came together?
I'm not sure if they were familiar with other programs that were around the country or not. There are different ones that are prominent. OLE is one acronym, and then there's the Osher group, where they have lifelong learning programming, because I think, you know, that we all recognize that if all segments of our population are healthier, then yeah. we all benefit from that. And so I'm not familiar with where they, mm-hmm. if they just came up with it on their own, okay. or if they...
And Fiona, you had a role, so you were the coordinator. What was your title, director?
I think director, I've forgotten now, but that wasn't my main job at the time. I was actually the public relations person.
Okay, I had an off-air conversation with a joint friend, and I said, what I remember when I first worked in print yes. journalism was that Fiona was kind of my go-between for marketing, so, okay.
So it was Dr. Dunker and Brenda whose vision established this program, and it was going 5 years before I got involved. And Brenda laid the blueprint for everything okay. that I did, and we worked closely together. And I just think that I don't think they based it on one elsewhere. I do think that Brenda sort of trips, she had film appreciation, I mean, numerous. And I just mm-hmm. followed her lead. In fact, it was mm-hmm. very hard to follow it. And then she left, and they asked me if I'd take it on as mm-hmm. well as the PR, which I did.
So were you the second coordinator then,
yes,
essentially?
Okay, I was. Okay. Brenda being the founder, okay. founding coordinator, and Dr. Dunker being the visionary behind the whole thing. And it was actually at the Southern Hills Mall.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it wasn't on campus initially?
No.
Okay, okay. And I don't know why this matters, but how many, Courtney, so Sue, you've been in the role how many years now?
Almost three.
Almost three, okay. And then has there been
four? Maura Hall was the coordinator for a while as well. And so she's moved on into another position here on campus.
Right. I was thinking Maura had that. I think I had heard that Maura had that role. So, yeah. Do you know what the initial offerings were of lifelong learning when it first was started? And I guess I want to turn to the McKinneys here in just a second. How long have you been, I guess I'm kind of confusing things here, but how long have you been coming for lifelong learning here?
We were thinking, do you think about 19?
About 19 years.
About 19 years since we retired.
Okay.
And so we were living in Mapleton, and we've since moved to Sioux City. And it's a lot more convenient now that we're living in Sioux City than to drive up here from Mapleton.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And what did you know about it? Like, what enticed you to, like, hey, this might be something that we should try? What did you know about it, and how has it, I guess, played out in comparison to what you thought it might be?
I think the first thing was the book club, which we are still involved in. But I had taught The Great Gatsby for years and years, and they were discussing The Great Gatsby, and I said, we got to go.
Okay.
So that's, I think, the first class that we took was the discussion of The Great Gatsby.
Okay. And let me back up. So again, Bill McKinney, thank you for sharing that. But for what's been your life's path? You guys, what were your careers, and what have you done during your work?
I was an elementary teacher and fourth grade, and then went into special education as a teacher. So.
And then?
I was a high school teacher, taught English and Spanish.
Okay, and I'm gonna go way off script here, and this so please bear with me. What's the frequency? I had a conversation with a friend. I've read Great Gatsby. I've read it three times, and I read it again a few years ago. And I was thinking back to my college sophomore year when it was in American Masterpieces, and I was talking with a friend, and it said, you know, that's just such a deep, that's such a complex book. Because I remember being in class and being amazed by a couple classmates and my professor who were pointing out all what I am calling symbolism that was in the book. And I said it was completely over my head. And I remember just being fascinated by a couple of my classmates that were sitting left and right of me who could like point that out. And the professor was like saying all this, and telling the story, my friend said, no, Gatsby doesn't have all that kind of symbolism and metaphors and such. So can you clear that just for this 30 seconds here?
I think you could enjoy it just for the story.
Okay.
But there are deeper things that he's doing. And of course, there's the musical on Broadway right now, and the ballet is coming to the Orpheum soon. And so there are several major movies of it being made, so you can see it in lots of different ways.
Okay, so I apologize to all the listeners for that digression here, but you mentioned something that I just had a conversation about, so I just had to go there. So thank you, Bill McKinney. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to, talk to you, Sue, next. Who comes to lifelong learning? Like, is there a certain specific demographic you're aiming for, and then who? And you know, whatever that you might be aiming for, like who are the people that typically come in terms of age, gender, et cetera?
Well, my understanding is that the program was originally, the audience is over 50.
Okay.
And so so that is our primary demographic. But because we do not discriminate based on age, we include people are welcome to join us.
Okay.
Regardless of their age.
So if someone's 40 and they saw this particular lifelong learning and they want to come, you're not going to be at the door carding them for ID or anything like that?
No, okay. No. And sometimes we do have children and parents that participate. Usually it's someone that's an older teenager and maybe their mom will do our art classes and that type of thing. It's just that because we don't necessarily screen for working with kids, if there are any under 18, then they need to have a parent or adult with them for the class.
Okay.
So so most of our classes, while they're designed for above 50 and above, they appeal to a wide range of ages.
And how do people, so I can recall, and I don't think it happens anymore, but Witt would send out a semester summary of courses and such, and lifelong learning had some pages in there. I don't think that goes out anymore, but I believe it, like, on their website. How are you reaching people? So how do people know what's being offered in lifelong learning?
Most people find out about us through word of mouth with their friends or family members, and then we have a catalog that's published twice a year. I'm trying to make sure that I get it out around July and then again around February. And we do have a website that is updated with those catalogs as they come out, that they can also check out our information. It's usually the easiest way is just Google WITCC and then lifelong learning, and usually it'll take you directly to our page. And one of the things that sometimes people get confused about is because we are not for credit classes, we do not have it set up yet where you can pay online. You can, our website lets you like add courses to a cart and then view them and then submit so that you can submit your request. But we also take requests by phone and also by email. And then some of my long-termers will actually write out their list and then mail that to me. And then we register them that way as well.
Okay. And I know it's not very much money, but what is the cost to be a lifelong learner?
So it's $15 annual lifelong learning membership, and it goes from July 1st through June 30th each year.
Only $15?
Only $15. That helps cover the cost of the catalog. And because people move so often now, we only send out the catalog to like the last 2 years of lifelong learning members. And then if you want to call and request a catalog, we're happy to mail you one. But we do not send them out to the general public.
Thank you, Sue Owens. Back for this edition of What's a Frequency. We have four guests in studio to discuss the Lifelong Learning Institute at Western Iowa Tech Community College. We have coordinator Sue Owens. We have Fiona Valentine, who was the coordinator for several years as well. And then two people who attend many lifelong learning events, I guess for about 19 years now, I think you said, right? Yeah. And that's Becky and Bill McKinney from Mapleton. No, wait, you moved to Sioux City, you said, correct?
Yep.
Okay. And again, thank you all for being here. And I want to get back to where I was on the demographics of who attends. And so you said it's designed for typically 50 and over for either Fiona or Sue. What would you say is kind of a typical age for who's attending most of these?
I would say that after people retire, they're trying to figure out how they want to organize their life. And also they've lost a lot of those relationships at work. So a lot of times it's someone trying to figure out, you know, what they want to learn, what they want to do, and also how they can meet others that are going through a lot of the same life experiences.
So you're mentioning basically, Sue, it's a social component with this, correct?
Yes, I think so. Most of us do a lot better when we have other people to meet and do those things that we know are healthy for us. And so if we meet someone, say, at Stretch and Flex that we can talk to before and after and during the class and that kind of thing, then we're more likely to attend regularly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Becky and Bill, can you speak to that in terms of friendships or, you know, how this fits into your social life and as a, I guess, probably a pretty big piece of it?
Well, just moving to Sioux City, personally, I didn't know a lot of people. And so some of the classes, I met people that I got to know with or got to be friends with and could do things with or meet up to do some things with. So,
Bill, any thoughts on that?
That's right. You see the same people at a lot of the classes, and And in other events we go to in the community, a lot of times we'll see somebody who we know through lifelong learning and have learned more about through lifelong learning.
Thank you. And again, the voices that you just heard there were Becky and Bill McKinney. And I guess I want to step back one more time and make it somewhat personal. But my parents, Glenn and Judy Hayworth, have come for years and have loved, like, I don't know if there's anybody who likes lifelong learning as much as my parents. So I want to describe the breadth of the classes. So I read a little bit at the beginning for some of the options that are held. And I'm guessing... what was being done first in 1995 is not necessarily how that's being done today, but can you give any of you, I'm Sue, go ahead first, but just kind of the breadth of the classes that are offered.
Well, we have anything from cooking to fiber arts to art classes to history, also just daily living things, things that we need to know to improve our lives. And then, of course, our activity courses are ongoing. So we have balance on Mondays at 9:30. We have stretch and flex on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 9:30. We have chair yoga at 10:15 on Wednesdays. We have Zoom chair yoga at 9:30 on Thursdays. So I would say that
Did you say Zoom? So people could be doing from home and watching. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so we have Zoom chair yoga, and then we also do some Zoom cooking classes with Brenda Wright.
Okay.
And then for our history classes, we also do Zoom at night on a lot of those. It'll be the exact same class, but it'll be at night instead of in the day.
And thank you for explaining that, Sue. And I guess I think of Zoom as something I didn't know anything about until 5 years ago with the pandemic and, you know, video conferencing, and I remember the first time I was on Zoom, I had no idea what it was, and it's become a part of our life. So basically what you're saying, I believe, is that as new technologies have come on, this is a way that people can participate if they're not necessarily here on the Sioux City campus. Is that yes?
Yes, we do have people that participate from other states.
Wow.
My mom does Zoom chair yoga in Mississippi, and we have some cousins that do it from, one is in Idaho, one is here in Sioux City. We have some people in Sioux Falls that join us. So Zoom really opens up the participation that we can have from people around, even beyond our geographic borders. But, you know, Mara really, she ended up doing Zoom classes in order to keep lifelong learning going during the pandemic.
There was no other way. You couldn't meet in person, right?
Right. So okay. She established a lot of that for us and kept things going.
Huh. Okay. So that was a new technology that you've just continued because people use it still, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right. Most people still prefer to come in person. And after having to do Zoom for so many things, some people are just like, no, Zoom for me.
Right.
But like I said, for others, it is very convenient.
Right. So do you, Fiona, you not only were the coordinator, but did you teach some courses like these?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Could you give a flavor of a couple of the courses that you may have taught that you enjoyed, I guess?
Oh, I remember. Well, I remember one class. It came to me today because there's a show opening on Broadway called Art. Hmm. And the premise is the play is this guy's bought an artwork that is basically a white canvas. His friends either love it, or the other one thinks it's worthless, and that's the whole play, very entertaining. So I just remember that one time I held an art class in lifelong learning, and I brought in a blank canvas, and I did that. And I was not to make fun of the students, but rather to show that, it's what you make of it.
Sure.
And, you know, each piece of art is what in the eye of the beholder, if you will, even if it's white canvas.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to say, I've had the opportunity that of all the remarkable things that happened in my years, we went on a trip up to Minneapolis, which was organized by Gary Lipschutz, who recently passed, and he was amazing organizer of trips, more the long haul. But on that trip, we went to see A Christmas Carol at the Guthrie. Were you there?
No.
Okay. So about Bob Cratchit had just come onto the stage, you know, and all of a sudden there was a terrible commotion in the audience. And one of them, I thought, oh God, I hope it's not someone on lifelong learning. And it was. He collapsed, and one of the others on the tour leaped over all the rows of chairs and basically saved his life. Because she was a nurse. She was a nurse at Mercy, and if it wasn't for her, and I won't say her name, because she may not want me to, but the very next day, on a same trip, someone was taken very ill at the Mall of America, and once again, she came to the rescue. And she was not there as a nurse, but as a lifelong learning student. Sure. That was an amazing moment for me in all the years I did it.
Mm-hmm. So do you teach courses yourself, or do you coordinate?
I've taught a few, but I recognize that I enjoy coordinating more than I do teaching, because I get nervous. And
okay. To you guys, the McKinneys, did you ever do any Zoom courses, and what did you think of those compared to being in person?
Yes, we did. We took did the history classes, and I did the fiber art classes during the pandemic on Zoom, and I liked it. And one of the things I liked about it was, for the fiber arts, if I missed something, I got to go back and look at it, which was nice. But I do enjoy the in-person more.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I taught at least one class on Zoom. The classes that I usually teach are coordinated with a drama that's going on in town.
Okay.
I mean, one of the plays somewhere that's connected with that. And then sometimes I do just different authors or that I think are interesting. Mm-hmm. And I think I did Mark Twain. Mm-hmm. And that's really strange, sitting in your living room looking at Becky talking to the screen and knowing that you're going out to several people at least.
Sure, sure. For Fiona, I guess for anyone, these questions are pretty much, you guys are all either attending, and I guess Bill, you've also taught a few and then are coordinated. What seems to be fields that are the most popular, that might be the most attended, that seem to fill up the most? Any thoughts on those?
Well, I always felt that there were two things, and then a lot of instructors who should be mentioned, but there were two things that were essential to the life of this program. One of them was something called stretch and flex, which was a twice a week exercise class. It grew to 90 people when I left at that time. Still going. I was there in the very beginning. As I said, I followed Brenda's blueprint. And the other thing that was always huge were day trips.
Okay.
And we had even Brenda was doing that, and she used the college van and drive for them herself, as did I. And then they grew and grew and grew and grew. So we had to do the trips twice, and we had about nine per season. Always sold out, you know, like a top hit play in New York.
And I wanted to, any thoughts from the rest of you for like what are popular, the most popular courses?
So this Friday I have a mystery trip, and it is full, and I have a waiting list. And so you don't tell people where you're going. You just go, and everything is paid for so they can just enjoy the day. And so they'll get their friends to go with them. And before you know it, you have a bus full.
Okay. And I wanted to turn to that. So thank you. You both have mentioned that now. So it's time for me to frame it this way. Sue and Fiona, tell us about, when did trips first come about, and how do those, like, is there extra charge for that? And like, what are examples of where trips are? So you've mentioned Minneapolis.
Well, Brenda started trips. I probably wouldn't have even thought of it. You know, as I said, I just followed Brenda's patterns. Brenda, we had these vans, 11 seaters. And they went on little day trips with me and previously Brenda. And we went to everywhere. We went to Mennonite places. We went the other side of Iowa. We went too numerous to mention. And along the way, I met someone called Judy Ehlers, who is a professional tour guide. And she took over these day trips. And she was a genius at it. So she knew what I'm English. I don't know Iowa. She knew it back to front, and we went on many. Did you went on these trips? a bit?
We went on a few. We taught with Judy Ehlers, so we know Judy Ehlers well. Yes, yes.
And we were at the one in Mapleton.
Right.
That she did of Mapleton.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. And that was right after the tornado hit Mapleton. The tour came there, and so it was really an interesting time to look at Mapleton and look at where it was at that time.
Okay, and I'm going to connect the dots just because I guess this is how I am. But when you had mentioned being teaching at Mapleton and being in plays, I was thinking of after I believe the tornado hit in 2011 off the top of my head, or 2010, 2012, somewhere right in there. Mm-hmm. But I remember because the school play that year was a musical, it came up to Sioux City and it was at the Orpheum.
Yes.
And I went to that, and that was one of my, I don't know why, I just remember that so well. It was a wonderful, I don't remember the play, maybe you do, but were you directing it?
No, okay. I'd been retired for a couple of years at least, maybe more than that since then, yes.
Mm-hmm. But the
tornado hit the night that the play was being produced. They took the audience down into the basement.
Okay. Uh-huh.
When the tornado went through, mm-hmm. Yes.
So it was a few weeks later, like, we're going to put it on in Sioux City at this wonderful, anyone who's been to the Orpheum knows what just a wonderful mm-hmm. theater that is. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, what a great opportunity, and I'm sure people said this to that effect, what a great opportunity this was for these high school thespians to be mm-hmm. able to do that. So, mm-hmm. yeah. Okay.
I also did classes.
Go ahead, Fiona.
With my English, but, you know, I do presentations on the Queen or the Beatles or a lot of other, or the Scottish referendum when they were going to try and be independent. So I did a lot of those, and I was formerly a sociology professor, so I could bring this to the table. And I also did, we had another series called Art and Sandwiches. Right, and mm-hmm. then we would take a single piece of art and a broader sense of art, be it a building or a book, not a book, but a painting or a piece of clothing, spend the whole hour and a half discussing just that one. Because they say when you go in an art museum, you spend 7 seconds on average in front of an artwork. Mm-hmm. So we had 70 minutes, and you come out knowing that piece.
I like that. Well, thank you. And that voice you just heard there was Fiona Valentine. Now back for this What's a Frequency. We have one more segment here. We're talking about the Institute of Lifelong Learning, which is a very successful program here at the Western Iowa Tech Community College. Within a year, they will mark the 30th anniversary. I have the Lifelong Learning Coordinator, Sue Owens, with us today. We have a former coordinator, Fiona Valentine, and then two Lifelong Learning attendees, longtime participants, Becky and Bill McKinney, who have been coming for almost 20 years. And I want to kind of go more overarching here before we wrap, but why do all four of you, hopefully, please, why do you believe that lifelong learning has been such a success story at Western Iowa Tech Community College?
I believe it's lasted because of the amazing instructors, such as Russ Gifford, who's been in it almost from the beginning, such as Mary Vaught, who's taught Egyptology almost from the beginning. And I don't want to leave people out, but I would say, number one, we had the benefit of marvelous instructors. And the second is the students themselves who supported it. Without an audience, you have no program. So that's where it's been. And it survived changes of instructors, of coordinators, because of those two things.
Thank you, Fiona. Sue?
I agree with Fiona. The members have been so supportive. and just seeing all of the actually evidence-based practices of the instructors. And they care about the students, and they want to know their names, and you can feel that in a class. And so so I think the combination of the students and the instructors are why it has lasted for these many years.
Becky or Bill?
I think the variety of classes, because we've taken dance classes, we've taken exercise classes, we've taken drink classes, mm-hmm. how to mix drinks mm-hmm. through Zoom, mm-hmm. and history, and
the cooking classes, mm-hmm. and the fiber arts classes, and I mean, you just get such a broad range, and through that broad range, you meet so many different people that it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. And then before we wrap here, is there any element of the Institute of Lifelong Learning at the Western Iowa Tech Community College campus that we haven't talked about that we want to make sure that we mention before we depart here today?
I would say that we have community partners that teach classes as well for us, and that those community partners help us have the variety that reach out to our community for the different issues that they're facing. From the Alzheimer's Association to the Connections Area Agency on Aging, to the Iowa State and Woodbury County Extension Service. There's just a whole list, and I know I've missed some, but the community has supported our program as well. And that by doing it together, I think that it strengthens it.
Mm-hmm. Is there a topic that you think is a next topic that has never been quite hit in lifelong learning? Or, I mean, I'm guessing you take nominations or recommendations from people. Like someone said, "Hey, how about this?" I'm guessing that happens, right?
It does usually, because you know we want to do things that they want to do, and so I do take recommendations. I don't always get them done right away, but over time, usually those things come together.
Well, you have to pinpoint an expert, so to speak, someone who can teach it well, right?
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then the timing and having having it work for, like, all aspects of it, especially if it's something that requires transportation and good weather. And
mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, Fiona, were you going to say something?
Well, I was going to say it's very important to stress that not all programs require membership. They are. We often have concerts. We used to have, or we still do. We have lectures, and you have ongoing people that have run all the years, and its membership is not required. So I think it's important for the listening audience to know that can only be determined by looking on the website or the catalog.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And speaking of the catalog, I just had one more question, I guess, before to wrap here. We've talked about the cost only being $15 per year. We've talked about just the wide variety of topics that are courses for lifelong learning. What I realize we haven't talked about is when they take place. So is it like, is it 365, not three, I mean, year-round, is that correct?
Yes, it is year-round. We have, the activity courses are definitely year-round. A lot of our others, during the summer, we may take a break from some things.
Okay.
But I'm trying to incorporate more things because we do have people that are here year round. We do have some snowbirds. So our busiest times are usually September and October, and then April and May.
Okay.
But we do try to keep activities going year round.
And then also not only what time, going many weeks and months of the year, some are in the evening, some are in like, right, there's a variety of when they're held during over the course of the day too, right?
Right. Primarily they are during the day, but we do have some in the evening, and then we do have some on Saturdays, just depending on when the instructor's going to be available and when the facilities are available and all of those things.
Okay. And as we're about to wrap here, I want you to give the plug again. So if someone's looking online, if they want to, beyond seeing the catalog, mm-hmm. where can someone go, Sue Owens, to see the list of courses?
So the courses are available on the WIT website under Lifelong Learning. And so the WITC.edu, lifelong learning.
Okay, thank you. And any parting thoughts? Again, we'll do it one last time. Anyone, any parting thoughts? Anything we haven't talked about that you think should be shared with people who are listening?
I'd say if it wasn't for Dr. Dunker, and none of this would have happened. And he came on the trips when he was retired. He loved this program. He moved away from this area, but I say all credit to him. He wanted to do something for the community, and everyone who's had this job tried to, you know, measure up to that vision.
Thank you.
He still supports us and participates on Zoom.
Dr. Dunker still participates via Zoom. Nice.
He actually supports. I mean, he's a donor.
And financially supports. Yes. Yeah. Do.
And that'll be a wrap for this edition of What's a Frequency. This show has been on recapping the Lifelong Learning Institute that's at the Western Iowa Tech Community College here in Sioux City. Many thanks to my guests. We had Lifelong Learning Coordinator Sue Owens, a previous coordinator, Fiona Valentine, and then Becky and Bill McKinney from Sioux City, who attend many, many, many Lifelong Learning events. And I thank you all for, this has been a great discussion. Thank you all for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
And as we move deeper into a second year for this show, thanks for being a part of our station as we work every day to tell the stories about Siouxland that inform, entertain, and expand the mind. Thanks for listening, and please join us again next week. What's a Frequency airs on Fridays at 10 a.m. and again on Sundays at 2 p.m. Make sure you also check out a few of our Siouxland Public Media music shows that air at 10 p.m. as we have Hip Hop Chronicles on Thursdays, Mixtape Dance Party on Fridays with Earl Horlick, and 10 o'clock Blues on Saturdays with Stumpy Steve Smith. For Siouxland Public Media News, I'm Brett Hayworth.